setting than just regular church. So would it be appropriate? I think it would. Like if we put a coffee pot just out around, outside around the door, because whenever I don't know what Brother Hurst is in his classes, but when I've in classes in seminary and all, you know, it'd be like all day long from 8 in the morning till sometimes 5 in the evening. But we always had permission to get up at any time and go back and the coffee was there, some donuts usually, or go to the restroom. So it was a little different. But we could adjust. We could do some of that, couldn't we? Where's Krispy Kreme? Is it downtown? Now, I didn't set my alarm for a reason, because it doesn't seem to do any good. Now, Pastor David doesn't say anything, but I see him when he gets up there. He's always kind of fooling. Are you checking your watch or something? He opens that up, and then he just kind of ignores it the rest of the time. The subject this morning and tomorrow afternoon will go in a different direction, but the lack of understanding this, I'm convinced, has caused many young people and older people to be disillusioned with church people. I think the lack of understanding this has caused people to run in another way and just feel like there's nothing to it. A couple weeks ago, I preached about this in two different services, morning and evening at my home church, and I use a whiteboard, usually somebody else writing on it because I can't, but this is a very important subject, and it's not because I'm giving it, but because it's the, and on our website, shelbybhc.com, we live stream our services and YouTube and archive and all that. So don't check our church out right now. Wait, you could right now get online and see, but shelbybhc.com, and it's amazing. I could talk a long time about how God has used that. And really, the guy that's responsible is right back there in the middle, Trent Castle. He spent hours, I think, Trent, I could say hundreds of hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours, that he has invested freely, we didn't pay him anything, to put all that together, and there's been incredible stories of what God has done. We as a congregation, our church, we owe a debt to Trent that we couldn't start to pay. But if you would go on there, and this is something that you, when I'm finished, agree that has that kind of importance, I would just encourage you to do that. Now, since we don't have a whiteboard, could we just someone pull one of those ropes and pull us down a board? Because what I want to do is there's going to be two columns. So if you have a pencil and you want to do that, and I encourage you to, there's a column over here, and there's a column over here. Both are very important. Both are often misunderstood. So I'm asking you to go with me to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, and they're going to be contrasted and compared with the fruit of the Spirit. So, gifts of the Spirit contrasted with fruit of the Spirit. The problem is they're often the gifts of the Spirit, and they're so important, but they're often what people judge our spirituality by, when it's actually the fruit of the Spirit that God looks at. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are two verses that I especially want you to notice about the gifts of the Spirit. All right, the first one's verse 7. You see that? Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12. these gifts are given to profit the body. That's the purpose of them. They're to edify the body of Christ. Do you see that in verse 7? You see that? Say amen. Or praise the Lord. Okay, that's verse 7. But verse 11 is also very, very important. Because verse 11 makes it clear that it's the Holy Spirit, you looking at verse 11, that gives them sovereignly as he chooses. Not everybody gets the same gifts, and they are given to bless the body. Before we look at the gifts, just think with me for a minute. I'm left-handed, and this arm of mine, it has one purpose. It's to minister to my body. The rest of my body is not concerned about my arm always flexing a bicep and telling the rest of the body, look at this. The rest of my body, doesn't care. It wants this arm to minister to the body. And if the arm decides it wants to do its own thing, and it's its own boss, and if you don't like it, this is who I am, says the arm, then the body's in trouble. I have two eyes. Let's say that I'm walking along a trail that's kind of treacherous and I need to be looking carefully. And my eyes decide that what they want to do is gaze out at the mountain out there. And the body says, now listen, we need you now to look here down here so that we can find our way along. And my eyes say, listen, I'm enjoying looking at the mountain out here. And if you don't like it, this is me. Get a life. Do you see what happens to my body? The only reason the eyes exist is to be of service to the rest of my body. And if my eyes or my arms or whatever, they cease to be coordinated and function with my body, then there are problems. Now, it's possible for me to get by without my eyes. There are people that do. Fanny Crosby did. But other parts have to really kick in, and there's still a lack. We need all of the parts in the body. We don't need 10 eyes or 10 ears. We don't need everybody to be the mouth. But we need everybody. Now, with that in mind, let's just look at a quick look at a list of some of the gifts, all right? Notice in verse 8, now remember, verse 7 makes it clear that it's given to bless the body. Verse 8 says, into one, and notice all along it keeps saying another and another and another. Because Paul, everything that I just tried to say, Paul stresses that. That's the problem at Corinth. They're very gifted. And the gifts are not false. We don't have time to go into false gifts. But they're being used in a very self-serving, carnal way. And he stresses again and again to another and to another and to another. Now, what I'd like to do would be to go through these gifts, go through the gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12, go through the gifts that are listed in Ephesians 4 and elsewhere, and I'd like to talk to you about each of those and give examples. But I sense that our leader, with the pressure that's been put on him, was trying to backtrack a little bit and kind of say, you know, it's all right to keep going, but you need to know that there's everybody's not on board here. So I've got to resist that, brother. I want to do that. But, okay, so, all right, here it is. Verse 8, to one, a word of wisdom. Verse 8, another, knowledge. Verse 9, gift of faith. Verse 9, gifts of healing. And all, again and again, it's to another and to another. He's stressing this. It cannot be overstressed. This is not just done in this, but it's also done in Romans chapter 12. He continually stresses that everybody doesn't have the same gifts. They're given to the body to bless the body. Problem is, when we're jealous of each other's gifts, or we want to show off our own gifts rather than minister to the body. To another, gifts of healings. To another, miracles. To another, prophecy or preaching. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of languages or tongues. To another, verse 10, interpretation of tongues. These are a list of gifts. In fact, if we went to Romans chapter 12, there's more listed, but one of them I want to talk about is giving. That's a gift. Now, those often are what we look at and we judge how spiritual a person is. So what happens is, somebody that has a gift of preaching or teaching, and you hear them, and they preach powerfully, or they teach and open up the scripture in a way that's just, you know, you just say, wow, that really is wonderful. But then, Brother Lee, you find out that maybe that fella was not just being with his wife, but on the side, he was sleeping with another woman. And friends, that's happened more than once. And you think, how in the world could that ever be? He preached, or she preached, or whatever, with such anointing, and God came in such a special way. And friends, that happens. And then when you find out that their life was a double life of sinful life, young people, older people say, I wonder if there's anything really real to that. Once a pastor and his wife pastored a little church. I knew them very well, just a handful of people. And they had a very talented musician that attended there. The fellow could sing beautifully. He played instrument beautifully. I mean, he was given gifts to bless the body. He would write songs that were wonderful. But the pastor's wife made this comment. I wish that the songs that he writes would really be how he lives. Because, see, he knew his talents. And he didn't mind coming late to church. Get a life if you don't like it. Get another song leader. Get another pianist if you don't like what I'm doing. If it bothers you that I came in late today, or that I didn't show up, or what. He was desperately needed, and he knew it. And he had God-given talents that he had developed. And I don't have the time to go into gifts that are just like, for instance, language, like Brother Wilcox easily acquired languages and was familiar with 21 languages, or Jared Prodden Hope Sound that was instantly given the gift of English and all of that. So I'm not even trying to fine-tune all of that. I don't think it can be done. God's gifts are sometimes go from one to the other. But what I'm trying to say is all of those are to bless the body. But when this fellow that I'm talking about would write the beautiful songs, and I've heard him sing, and he'd bless your heart. And by the way, let me say something. I've been meaning to say this, and I've been forgetting. Hasn't the music been great? The singing? You guys are doing a great job. I love the songs you're singing. I love the way you're singing them. Thank you. I'm not trying to make an application here with this illustration. In case anybody thinks that's not on my mind. I just had to clear that in case they thought maybe I was trying to. But in all seriousness, friends, the fella could sing like a bird and bless your heart and write songs to bless your heart. And yet when you knew him, you knew that he was very much conscious that it was his. And you also need to appreciate me. You need me. And people look on at that and they can't always get that sorted out. It has caused many people to fall and go in a different way. Even things like discernment. There's a gift of discernment, and that's an important gift. It's a dangerous gift. There are some people that are more discerning. My mother was that way. We had a guy come to visit our church. We had a church full of new converts. 1 year, we averaged 121 for the year, and they were mostly new converts. My dad just dug them out of the rough and saw them saved. And many of them became members, and they were able to. We had a guy come to visit. He had his son attended our church. And I mean, we loved him. He was very charismatic, and I don't mean tongues or anything, but he had a personality. I heard him when I still remember him preaching on heaven, Brother Whitaker, and the saints shouted all over the church. They were just blessed. What he preached was true. But my mother said when he came in the church, she felt like snakes were crawling. Nobody else, my dad, no one else had that, any idea. He ended up tearing the church up. He went around to homes. He wanted the church. So he began to go to homes, and he began to say, you know, Brother Smith's a good man, but in other words, this guy could lead him on. And he actually, one service when my dad went away for revival, he took 21 members that service and started another church. That's members along with a lot of others. Of course, if we found out he was as crooked as a dog's hind leg. His past was awful. But my mother discerned that. But let me say something else about that gift of discernment. No gift is infallible. And when you have a particular gift, say of discernment or teaching or preaching, you have to be very careful to keep in mind that God doesn't make any of us infallible, and sometimes we are very wrong. Brother Spivey touched on that the other day, and it's so true. But it's hard when a person's very spiritual and they rather have a gift of discernment. They can, if they're not careful, they're not stupid. They know that they spend more time in prayer and in Bible reading than the average person. And they have often found how God has made it clear that what they were thinking turned out. But if you have that kind of gift, you listen to me. The devil's smarter than any of us, and he'll use us against ourselves. And I've seen him use people that were very discerning. They're harder to help because they're not being. It's not like they realize that they really are, but they're not always right. That's why we need the whole body, and we need to remember that every one of us are fallible. Patty, when we were in Bible college, Patty didn't attend the mission I pastored. She attended another one, but we had about 30 kids, and we gave our whole heart and soul to the work of that mission. And we were down there on Vine Street, the roughest part of Cincinnati, and we had several kids that were very musical, and we had someone in charge of the music and having different ones sing. And there was one fella. Let me call him Bill, all right? That's not his name, but Bill. Very good fella. Very quiet. Just very kind of serious. Just, you know, that kind of guy that, you know, is there and he just doesn't say much. He's very faithful. Great guy. But he wanted to sing. Wanted to sing special. And so she reluctantly put him on the list. And I cannot tell you, it was terrible. The poor guy couldn't even come near a tune. But the saddest part was he didn't realize that. He loved to sing, and he loved to hear himself sing. He loved that. But it was so bad that nobody considered having him sing again. And so she didn't put him back on the list. And weeks went by, and others that the rotation kept going through. And to his credit, and this guy loved Jesus. Now you listen to this. To his credit, he came to me A lot of times, people don't have the maturity to go to a leader like that. They'll start talking. They'll show their carnality or their immaturity or both by, rather than going and talking to the person, they'd start making little comments. Why aren't they using me? Why are they using that person? This kid didn't do that. He did the right thing, the right way. I was a pastor. He came to me. And he said, you know, he said, I'm really bothered by this. He said, you know, I was on the list and I sang, but others keep going and they're not putting me back on it. And that's when the pastor gets paid for his. However, at the mission in those days, we weren't paid. So I said, well, Bill, that's not your gift. He did not agree with me ever. Now listen closely. Never did he come to believe I was right. But that kid showed something that I've seen some gray hairs never come close to showing. He was hurt. He was even offended. Did you know you can love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and have both of those happen? He felt like that for whatever reason he wasn't being respected and used. But he kept coming and he kept calling on people and he kept taking kids home after church. All the time feeling like, really, they ought to let me sing. But he didn't go around talking to people. Sometime later, we had a special service. I don't even know if it was a revival or what, but I remember he came in like a mother hen. He had a man, wife, and four or five children with him from the community. This is a very rough community. And he had brought them. He had been calling on them and calling on them. And they all came to the altar. And they all, the man and wife, prayed through. They got up with a glow on their face, and here's what the man said. We had no intention of coming to this mission. But I'll call him Bill, all right? But he said, Bill kept coming to our house every week. And Bill did not have a dynamic personality. He didn't have the kind that could engage you. In fact, it was almost embarrassing to try to talk to him sometime because he just didn't have the skills to hardly carry on a good conversation. You know what I'm saying? But they realized he cared. And week after week he went, and the man standing up with the glow, and you should have seen Bill. He's standing over here with the biggest glow, like a brand new father that's just had a whole flock of kids, like that. And he's grinning from ear to ear, as the man says, Bill just wouldn't leave us alone. And we thought, if he keeps coming like that, we've got to go to church with him sometime. So, friends, when it comes to the gifts, normally, you keep a sanctified heart and other believers will recognize your gifts. But friends, even if, let's say that Bill could have sung like a bird, and he would have been right, he still would have missed what God wanted to do. And I have lived long enough to see, and I've seen it with preachers, I've seen it with lay people, that get so concerned because their gifts are not recognized. If they would only say, Lord, I will do whatever, and keep an attitude, many times their gifts would be recognized. But even if they're not, God will use them. The gifts. We can get very, very, very full of ourself with our gifts. But let's look at the fruit of the Spirit that God judges us by. And that's in Galatians. And it's all over the scripture, actually. Galatians is just one place. But Galatians 5, look at Galatians 5. And let's start actually with verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Remember, I've tried to touch on this subject three times before today. Just touch on it, because it could take weeks. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. But now listen, because we're going to get to the fruit of the Spirit in a minute. Now look at this phrase. But by love, serve one another. Don't use your liberty as an excuse for what you want to do, the flesh, but by love, what is it? Serve one another. Now, I don't have time to do what I'd really like to do with Galatians, but I wanted to point aside, I want to point you to what I want you to really look at when you're reading Galatians. How Paul talks about it being beginning in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. But no. My flesh, even though I'm living in the flesh, yet I'm living in the Spirit. And that's the key to liberty, to live in the Spirit. That's the key. No, you won't have the liberty to never be offended, never having your feelings hurt. You're not going to get that spiritual. It's coming, but most of us don't want that to come too soon because it's in another world. But you can have God do something for you that though you're hurt, though you don't feel used, though you feel disrespected, though someone else is, you still are free. Why? Because by love you serve others. So he says, verse 14, we were talking about the law being fulfilled. Here it is. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, everything else comes from that. Remember what Jesus said about the two most important commandments? But we have to take a minute again. I made reference the other day to love. All right? Let me go back to it. Same word. As I mentioned, I dearly love ice cream. Especially I love butter pecan. Right? But my daughter, I have one daughter, four boys, they're all married. My daughter has a little boy. When's he going to be two? It's coming soon. What? I can't keep there's 15 of them, and I can't keep the... So he's going to be two in August. Now, I'm trying to be objective, okay? I'm going to do my best to be objective, but I need to tell you about this boy. He's really unusual. He's very special. He's very... He wants to shake everybody's hand at church, and he's grinning and smiling and all. My daughter's a nurse, and she works maybe once a week or so at the hospital, and I have sometimes, they'll either bring him over, or I've actually gone over to the house different times and sat there until he wakes up. So I was there the other day, and this little guy, I hear him stirring, and so I go up, and I peek in his room, and he sees me. And he just kind of tucks his head down like he didn't see me. And so I sit around, we've done this before. So I sit around the corner, and he's just kind of humming along, making some noises. And I look around, and he's watching. And as soon as he sees me, he drops his head back down again. And this goes on for a half hour or longer, you know. And then I just kind of crawl in there next to the crib, and then he'll look this way or look that way. Now, I'm trying to be objective, but I've seen many, many grandkids, hundreds of them. And he is absolutely in the top 15. I mean, he's right there. I'd die for that little guy. So when I tell you I love him, and I tell you I love ice cream, I don't have to explain that to you. I don't have to give you the context, right? You get it right immediately. We have to get the context of this word love that's used here. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world that way, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a huge word, and it must be understood. It's the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it is true that the fruit can be very, very young, green. It's always being developed. You don't get so old that your fruit is not needing to continually be developed and pruned. But the love that the fruit of the Spirit refers to is a love that Jesus said all the commandments hang on. It's not a love even that you can have without having a supernatural change. Because some of the gifts, and what God wants is he wants the gifts to be used with the fruit of the Spirit and then really bless the body. But friends, it's amazing how some, for instance, in Romans chapter 12, one of the gifts is giving. Do you know that there are people that they before they're ever Christians, it's just their gift, their nature to be giving. They don't even claim the name, Brother Lee, of Christ, and they would give you the last dollar they have if you were beside the road needing it. Now, what happens then is a young generation looks on, and they know that's good. And then they see some people that don't demonstrate that just the same degree, and they say, well, that means they're not as spiritual. Let me tell you something. You can be very spiritual, lacking some gifts that you have to really, really work hard on. In fact, in this, let's just look at this. In the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is starting with verse 22 of Galatians. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, if you wrote that down, you see that that word faith in the fruit of the Spirit is also found where? Anybody with me? Gifts. And remember, we talked about how they're not the same? Then how can it be that the word faith is in the gifts of the Spirit, and it's also in the fruit of the Spirit? And that brings up something very important in our Bible study. The same word can be used in totally different ways. And we understand that in life, but in Bible study, I find so many people, they don't get it. But it is. There is the fruit of the Spirit is faith or faithfulness to God, faith in Him, faithfulness, and you can't be a Christian without that. But I want to tell you, when you get over to the gifts, and look at it, to another was given faith. Why is it in the gifts He's points out that everybody doesn't have that? I'll tell you what, Brother Hurst, we built a new church. We've been in it 5 years. Trent was a big part of that, and even a big part of encouraging us to go on with our Family Life Center. But Trent could tell you that we had some wonderful Christians, and some of them, if you're going to do something like build a new church, you need some Christians that have the gift of faith. They're the ones that say, hey, somebody said that it couldn't be done, but we can do it. God's big enough for this. Now, listen, it's a difficult subject because often the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are all end up being together, but we still need to see that they're not always the same. I know people with great faith that really are very tiny in their spiritual maturity. But if we're going to build a new church, I want some of them. Because I know some people that love Jesus very, very, very much. And I don't think they have this gift of faith in any degree. And Brother Lee, I've been around them enough to know they love the Lord. But boy, they can sure keep you from doing anything. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, and it sure can't be done. I think our evangelist kind of touched on some of that. And sometimes it's out of carnality, but not always. And that's what can get confusing, because there can be wonderful Christian people, and they're just totally out. The gift of knowledge or wisdom. I know some sanctified people that don't seem to have anything related to a gift of wisdom. You're in a board meeting, and I mean, it's just like they never get it. And I know they love the Lord. And I know some people that aren't even really settled spiritually. They might not even claim to be Christians, that you like to seek their counsel. Now, what I'm trying to point you to is to see that as a result of things being like this, it can cause people to be very disillusioned and also cause people to lift people up in their mind spiritually when they're not really mature. They're gifted, maybe gifted teacher, maybe gifted preacher, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, God wants to grow both. But so when it comes to faith, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, it's faith in God or faithfulness to Him. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, it's that ability just to say, we can do it. God will help us. We need the gifts. But friends, we have to evaluate everything by the fruit of the Spirit. And you can be lacking of most gifts. And you can be a person that someone wouldn't want to go to you to seek counsel because you don't have a clue. You don't have any gift of discernment. Your wisdom is just non-existent. But you can be like that and have the fruit of the Spirit. And young people, older people, that's what God evaluates. And we're going to get to heaven. And we're going to have some shocks. We're going to be astounded at what God's going to say. Because the gifts, we can hardly have a gift without feeling like that we, especially if we've developed that gift. If we've spent a lot of hours and we know, yes, I always could carry a tune and all, but you need to know how many hours I spent developing this now. You need to know I get some credit for this. It doesn't matter. You need to know how many hours this guy spent studying Greek and Hebrew friends, we can miss it. Are these things important? They certainly are. But the gifts, unless they're carefully surrendered, the devil will use against us. You know one of the big gifts that he'll use against us? There are some people that are business people that have an ability to make money. And that's not wrong. But if you have that ability, you listen to me for a minute. That's not yours. God gave you that to bless the body. And that's one of the hardest gifts that anybody has to surrender. There's some people that are as conservative as can be. They would not do bad things. They would not dress worldly. They would not go to worldly places. And they have been very careful. God has blessed them financially. And some of them are very generous. But you know one thing? There's not too many of them that will ever be looked at Jesus looked at the little lady that said, who gave the most here today? It's this one right here. She gave her all. Because the more we have, the more we feel like we have to cultivate it and protect it and take care of it, you know, and watch after it. And we can set on a lot of stuff that could be going out to touch a world, to touch lost for Jesus. And because we've been rather generous, and we know that we have, and others know we have, we can miss understanding that it doesn't belong to us. And John Wesley said, he never met a wealthy person that he didn't think would be more spiritual if they didn't have that. Now, I didn't say that. That's Wesley. And Wesley had long hair. So, anyway. Love, joy, peace. Oh, friends, whenever I'm healthy and I've got plenty of money and my family appreciate me and my church is treating me right, which they always do, that's easy. And that's easy to feel joyful and peaceful. You know what? You don't have to be spiritual to be joyful and peaceful in those circumstances. But when all around your soul gives way and young people look at you, and as our preacher talked about with David Gibbs and the lady, and they see that even though things have been very tough, there's joy and there's peace and there's long suffering with your circumstances and with others, and there's gentleness. We're not all by nature. Some people, their gifts make it easier for some of the fruit to really develop. But when you read the Bible, I don't care what your disposition is, this fruit of the Spirit you're commanded to cultivate. And if you know, and I know in myself, there's some of these that are tougher for me. But I know that this is the way God's judging me. That goodness means you just, everything, you just despise evil. There's a meekness, a willing to be corrected. You know what temperance is? That's a self-control. It's the reason why some people never stay saved. They don't cultivate that fruit. They don't. They don't seem to think that there's anything to fasting, anything to consistent prayer, anything to consistent Bible reading. They do what they feel, right? And they never, some of them never realize why they can't really be established, because they don't cultivate that fruit, because this fruit has to be cultivated. It has to be worked. We have to say, Lord, judge me by this. Lord, help me in this area. And when we don't think that's important, especially if we have some other gifts. You should hear me sing. No, you don't want to hear me sing. You should hear me sing. You should hear me teach. You should, preacher, you were talking about giving, and I want to tell you that I give sacrificially. Sure you do, but you know something? 1 Corinthians 13, you know, we've been in 1 Corinthians 12. You know how 1 Corinthians 13 goes? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, and now the word is love. Our King James says charity, but love, agape love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not divine love, then I'm just like a blaring instrument that doesn't make any music, just a clanging sound. And listen to this. The 1 Corinthians 13 goes through all these gifts and compares it to the fruit. If you were sleeping, come back to me for a minute. I'm about done. It goes through all the gifts and compares. Listen to it. It says this. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and have not divine love. In other words, you could do that. And we're impressed because we see people that aren't Christians, and maybe they are doing wonderful things out there, helping people, helping society. And so a young person says, well, they're a better Christian than what I'm seeing around here. Do you see why this is such an important subject? Why people can become disillusioned and miss it? Though I give my body to be burned, there are people that will give their body, they'll fly into buildings, they'll set themselves on fire out somewhere for a cause. You talk about committed. And have not this divine love, it profits me nothing. And then he goes on to talk about the gifts. Divine love is, let's just look at it for a second. 13, 1 Corinthians 13. All right, here it is. Verse 4. Divine love suffers long. Remember that from Galatians? Long-suffering? And is kind. Do you remember that from Galatians? Divine love envies not. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't push itself forward. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. This is what God looks at, friends. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God for all the gifts. But if they are not coupled with the fruit of the Spirit, they end up doing damage. Verse 5, doesn't behave itself unseemly, doesn't seek her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now listen, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Whether they're prophecies, they'll fail. Whether they're tongues, they'll cease, and so on. But now back in conclusion to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And if you will listen real close to this next verse, you got to promise to give me your attention. I'll be done. Raise your hand if you promise. Okay. I've got it. There's some that didn't promise, so I can't promise to be. No, here we go. And it's your fault. You didn't raise your hand. If I go another 45 minutes, I want everybody. Okay, here we go. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thank you. God bless you. I didn't want to be the lone one that would just, when it was all remembered as being so long-winded, I wanted to have some of my coworkers share with me a little bit. Thank you.